Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sovereign Fire Studios, the show that tackles topics ranging from wild conversion stories and addiction to theology and the gifts of the Spirit, all from a Reformed continuationist perspective. I'm your host, Mason Skaggs. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sovereign Fire Studios again. Thank you for being here. I'm so glad that you're here. I just wanted to introduce this video a little bit differently because this is a clip from a conversation that I had with Dr. Sam Storms, renowned theologian, teacher, author, former president of the Evangelical Theological Society, and a clip in which we talked about the horrific abuses by Mike Bickle that Mike Bickle perpetrated in Kansas City. And as most of you know, I am here in Kansas City. I'm at a church here. I'm a musical director here. And I've not only spent time in the prayer room at IHOP in KC, where Mike Bickle was a founder, but yeah, I have close friends who were deeply involved in the IHOP community. I have close personal friends who were very impacted by the One Thing conferences, which is a conference that IHOP hosted. So many young people have been devastated. Some have been rocked to the core of their faith. And most importantly, there are women, young women, and that have been devastated by Mike Bickle's abuses, who have been belittled, who have been treated horrifically and unspeakably by a man who is meant to protect them and shepherd them. And so I wanted to introduce this video just by soberly offering up a prayer to those of you who have been hurt or who have been disillusioned by this kind of abuse. This should never happen in the body of Christ. It's a horrible stain and a mar on the body of Christ. And so I just want to offer up a prayer. I'll let Sam speak in the clip following. But I just wanted to pray for those who have been hurt and disillusioned, especially for the victims. So if you would pray with me, Father God, we lift up to you. First of all, we recognize we are sinners and we deserve your wrath. We have sinned against you and you're holy. You are altogether righteous. You're righteous in everything you do. And we've sinned against you even today in thought, word, and deed. And Lord, we know that you are a God of compassion. You're a God of mercy. And you've made a way for us to come to your throne through the blood of Jesus. And God, there are people who have come to your throne and come to know you intimately through the churches connected with IHOP and through IHOP, the parachurch organization. And Lord, through the International House of Prayer, so many have grown closer with you because of your kindness, just drawing people. Yet now we stand in the wake of one of the largest and most expansive and devastating exposures of abuse and sexual harm that I've ever experienced, and that so many are reeling because of this. And so, Father, we just earnestly pray that you would comfort the afflicted, comfort those who have walked in shame, who have walked in trauma because of the abuses of Mike Bickle. God, we pray that you would comfort them, that you would protect them, that they would get the help that they need. We pray that justice would be done, that lies would be would be exposed to be lies, that you would shine into the darkness the light and truth of your gospel, that you would reveal your love to these who are victimized, God. I pray for those, for their families, God, that you would comfort them, that you'd unify them together with believers who will build them up, who will support them and advocate for them. God, we pray for the IHOP leadership who were totally taken aback by this, who were deceived, and for the friends of Mike Bickle who were totally deceived and who are now utterly devastated by this. We pray that you would give them eyes to see your love, God, that you would give them wisdom and discernment in dealing with this issue. We pray that you would help them, that you would remind them that there is no condemnation for them in Christ, that you are a loving and forgiving God. And Father, I pray for all those who are disenchanted or feel downtrodden because of this abuse. I pray that you would build them up, that you would raise them up, Jesus, that you would let them rest in you. You bid them to come and rest, find their rest in you. And so I just ask that you would, even by videos like this, addressing these abuses head on, that you would comfort those who have been hurt and who have been oppressed by the enemy and his work in the church through leaders like Mike Bickle. Bring him to repentance, God. Bring him to repentance. Pray for him and his family, God, that you would draw them to yourselves, that there would be justice done, and that you would bring him to repentance at the foot of the cross, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Y'all, sorry for the long prayer. I love you all so much. And I hope that this video is some consolation to you. Thanks.
So as we kind of bring things to a close, because I want to honor your time, Sam, I want to spend a few minutes on, I just want to acknowledge you've been through a great deal along with a lot of other people in the past several months after the exposure of abuse by Mike Bickle at IHOP. I'm here in the Kansas City area. I've spent a lot of time in the prayer room, and I just want to thank you. I know a lot of my other friends here would like to thank you for so clearly denouncing abuse, for being so open and public about denouncing it, and you have lovingly dealt with those who were hurt by it as well. And so I just want to ask, how are you doing in the midst of it all, and how are you processing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been devastating. Nobody likes to be lied to and deceived, especially by close friends. And when people, I've been getting called out on the internet and every other way, people saying, well, what do you think now, Storms? A guy that you praised from the platform and endorsed has done all these things. And I say, you're right. I was deceived. I hope and pray you never have to go through what I've endured, because it's not fun. It's not pleasant. So I don't know how I couldn't see this in Mike, because I do consider him a very close friend. But then I have to say, well, thousands of other people are in the same boat. None of us saw it. None of us. We who were in small group gatherings with him for years, shared our lives together, prayed together, ministered together, traveled the world together. Not one of us ever detected anything that would have led us to believe that he's capable of what has now become public knowledge. So I guess misery loves company in that way. Because I beat up on myself. I say, Sam, do you not have discernment? You have no sense of judgment? And I think, well, nobody else does either, because nobody else saw it. So it's tragic. I love Mike. I'm praying for his repentance. I haven't seen evidence of it yet. I think the consequences of what has happened there is devastating for especially the thousands of young people who've gone through IHOP or have been at the One Thing conferences, some of whom now are just walking away from their faith altogether, not just walking away from prophecy or spiritual gifts, but walking away from Jesus. And that breaks my heart. So, there are lessons to be learned there, and I hope I've grown from it and learned from it. Because it's been massively painful, and I just pray that all those people that want to ridicule me because of my previous endorsements of Mike, I just say my prayer is that you never have to walk through this thing with a close friend of yours, that you never have to discover that you were lied to and deceived over many, many years. But sin is very deceptive, and for whatever reason, Mike didn't come forward and ask for help and confess and to his best friends. And I'm one of his best friends. I don't know why, but it's tragic. And I just hope people, you talked earlier, why do people despise prophetic utterances? Precisely because of things like this, precisely because of the scandal at IHOP and what Mike has done. They say, well, obviously prophecy is dangerous. It's bad. Look what happened at IHOP. Paul says, look, I don't care what the reason is. If you despise prophecy, you're sinning. Sin is disobeying a biblical command. And Paul commands us, don't despise prophetic utterances, no matter what the reason may be, no matter what justification you think you may have. So we need to be careful in how we respond to these kinds of stories It's tragic. It's heartbreaking. I just have to shake my head and throw my hands there. I don't understand it. I don't have any explanation for it. I just pray that Mike will, the Spirit will awaken him to the gravity of what happened, and that he'll be publicly. And I've appealed to him to stand on that stage. I'll stand there with you, Mike. I'll weep with you with my arm around you if you'll just repent of all of this. And there might be hope for ministry in the future. But short of that, I don't think he should ever return to ministry.
And I know you mentioned, which thank you for sharing that, Sam. We love you. We're praying for you. We know how it's affected those of you who did ministry together. And I know you mentioned in the past that you reached out with, you know, an appeal to him, like you just said, that you would even stand beside him if he was willing to own up to everything, to repent and publicly do so. Have you had any type of connect or communication since then at all, or is it just a closed door basically?
The last communication I had from Mike was back in October when Francis Chan and I appeared at his doorstep. He invited us to come and then turned us away. And he wrote in an email to me about an hour later, "Don't email me again about this." Well, I lasted about a week and I felt the prompting of the Lord, and I emailed him anyway, and I've gotten no response. I really don't think he wants to hear from me, because he's seen how me and Michael Sullivan and others who knew him well have, and the members of the advocacy group, have gone public about these things. I don't think he wants to hear from us. You know, one more thing to think about. Can't remember who reminded me of this. The 11 disciples didn't know that Judas was a traitor, a betrayer. Yeah. I mean, they were with him day in, day out, ministering for 3 years. They never had a clue. As far as we know, I mean, nothing in Scripture indicates they had a clue. And even at the Last Supper, they're saying, "Lord, who is it that's going to betray you?" And, you know, if a couple of weeks later you said, "Guys, didn't any of you discern this in Judas?" And they go, "No, we didn't."
So, right.
I don't know if I want to take a little comfort from that, but, you know, it's just possible for all of us to be deceived. If somebody wants to be deceived and doesn't want to be accountable, there's not much we can do about it.
That's right. Well, thank you for speaking to that, Sam. Lastly, how would you encourage believers who are like disenchanted or discouraged by, I mean, it's not just been, it seems like it, we get hit all the time with Christian leaders who are exposed as being abusive or, you know, authoritative in a way that's abusive. And so how would you encourage those people who are disenchanted right now?
Keep your finger on the text of Scripture. No amount of scandal, no amount of abuse could ever deter me from that. If we really believe in the authority of the Bible, that it dictates our beliefs and our behavior, I would say to people in the present day who are distressed by all these failures and scandals, just keep your eyes on the Word of God. Submit yourself to the authority of Scripture. Do what it says to do. Avoid what it says to avoid. And trust that it's authoritative and truthful. And unfortunately, people are not. People are not authoritative, and oftentimes they're not truthful. God's word is. That's the only way to stay rooted and grounded and not be blown around by every wind of doctrine or every scandal that erupts on the internet. Yeah,
that's so good. And that'd be my, just to bounce off that for my final thought for the listener would be to put your nose in the Bible. If there's one thing that you can get out of all of the episodes that I do, if it's to return to the Bible, to read the Bible as the very Word of God for you, the Word of God, study it and read good commentaries, ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand. And He's faithful. One of the functions of the Spirit of God is this. He leads us into all truth. You know, He reveals Christ to us. He exalts the work of Jesus Christ. And so I would just encourage you, if you're feeling downtrodden and you feel like, "Man, how can I ever trust a Christian leader again?" Look to Jesus. He's the Christian leader that you can trust.
Absolutely. Yeah,
he's never going to let you down. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. He never will deceive you. He never will lie to you. And nothing can snatch you out of his hand. That means no false teacher, no predator can snatch you out of his hand.